Namaste. Welcome to Quad Legalis Presents Working Talks. Here we get into conversation with practicing advocates and industry experts to present their point of view on various social legal affairs in the current digital era. Today we have Advocate Prateek Jain with us. He's a practicing advocate at Rajasthan High Court, Jaipur, and other subordinate courts and tribunals in Jaipur. He's an alumnus of GNLU Gandhinagar and is currently pursuing a PGD in Consumer Law and Practice from NLSIU Bangalore. He is also working as a managing associate with NC Jain Advocates and Associates, and his professional services involve giving legal advice, drafting and reviewing contracts, along with representing clients in courts, arbitration, tribunals and commissions. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me here, and I'm really looking forward to this, and thank you so much for that introduction.
Sir, since we'll be discussing GDPR and data protection law in India, the current world seems to be anxious about data leaks, breaches and alleged data manipulation. Data protection has been at the center stage for past year or two, especially in the COVID era. The media landscape has been inundated with series of stories on topics such as data protection, privacy, general data protection regulations, data breaches, delayed disclosures of past breaches by companies, and so on and so forth. Before venturing into data protection law in India, what is personal data and what is the need of data protection?
Well, I think you have quite rightly said that, you know, data protection has come to the center stage in the past year or two. But, you know, if we go by the dictionary definition of data, it simply means a piece of information, right? Now, you know, attach this piece of information to an individual, that becomes personal data. It's simple as that. Let me explain with an example. Someone makes a statement that there is a lawyer named Prateek in XYZ office. Now, this is a mere statement, right, which has facts. However, it's still not attached to an individual. Now, suppose that person points out at me and adds that he's Prateek. Automatically, all that information is now attached to me. Now, you know that I am Prateek, I'm a lawyer, I'm a male, and I work at XYZ office. All this is my personal data. You asked, what is the need of data protection? You know, the importance or the need of protecting personal data lies in the importance of data itself. Data and the information that is derived from that data is critical to the individual that it describes, and is also critical to the organization or government that processes that information in order to provide, you know, certain services or a product or any of the experiences to an individual. Data protection is not like a, you know, not a singular concept. You know, it's a thread of concepts where, you know, it ties together every industry or every individual. If you think about data in the most personal sense, data about your age, your address, your healthcare, your medical conditions, the number of members in your family, their age, etc. All of these are things that are obviously, you know, makes a big deal of difference for an individual. But if we go beyond this, the personal data also includes information about your present state. That is where you are, at what time you're doing something, who are you meeting, and etc. etc. So in a way, you know, a data tells a story for each individual. And it's up to that individual to decide what to share, whom to share, and when to share that. These are the fundamental principles of personal data protection. And that is why there is a need for data protection.
So basically, everything that is personal and that is intrinsic to our personal lives falls under the category of personal data, from medical records to a location, to the people we are meeting or wherever we are traveling, everything.
Exactly.
Moving ahead, GDPR harmonized data privacy laws across Europe. It gives European Union their personal data residents greater protection over how their personal data is used. For the ease of the discussion, can you please elaborate upon what GDPR is?
Sure. GDPR, you know, as you said, stands for General Data Protection Regulation. And I tell you, it is the most comprehensive data privacy law ever passed. It was designed to strengthen and unify data protection for all individuals within the European Union. It essentially has about 100 different provisions directing companies on how to collect data, how to manage that data, and how to process that data. You know, it also outlines the rights of the data subjects, which are, what is a data subject? Data subject is a person who gives his or her data to a organization or to the government, etc., etc. In essence, you know, it can be broken into four concepts. First one being, is your company lawfully processing personal data? Second, are you honoring your users' data subject rights? Third, are you meeting your company's obligation as a data controller or a data processor? Fourth, are you designing privacy into your products? So these are the four main concepts on which GDPR is actually based. Apart from these, you know, GDPR requires companies to appoint a data protection officer. Now, this data protection officer is an individual who has an independent authority to oversee a company's compliance with the GDPR rules. GDPR also provides for protection of children under the age of 16, you know, by requiring parental consent before a child's personal data is collected by a company. One more important aspect of GDPR is that it provides a particular amount of time that a company has to respond to a data breach. So as per, you know, GDPR provisions, a reporting of data breach is to be done within 72 hours to the European Union regulator. That's just 3 days from learning about that incident. So while it's a European data privacy law, it impacts all over the world. Anyone involved in processing personal data of individuals in the European Union must comply with GDPR, whether or not they are located in the European Union or not. You know, and there are hefty fines also. The fines for companies that fail to comply can range from 2% to 4% of global annual revenue. Just think about that. Like that's too much. So in a way, it acts as a deterrent, obviously. So, you know, for many companies, these fines can reach into billions. So this broad scope and the potential for immense fines are why GDPR, unlike other privacy laws, now all other laws are catching up, but GDPR is essentially given more attention from the global point of view. And with this interconnected world, more so because of the COVID, GDPR is being used by other countries as a basis for their own data privacy laws. Yeah, that's about GDPR.
Sir, I have one query. You mentioned about hefty fines. So are these hefty fines efficient in balancing the aim of data protection?
Well, it definitely acts as a deterrent, right?
Okay, moving ahead, the draft Indian Personal Data Protection Bill, or PDPB, was tabled after consultation by a committee headed by Justice D.N. Srikrishna. However, it garnered criticism from industry circles for being overly stringent, less flexible, a threat to personal privacy, and difficult to implement. What are your views on the same?
I beg to differ a little. See, the Personal Data Protection Bill was introduced, I think, in 2019 in the Lok Sabha by the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology. It was to provide protection for privacy for individuals, and it also provided for an establishment of a data protection authority, which would act as a regulatory body and would ensure that, you know, data protection laws are complied in India. As we all know, the bill is the consequence of the right to privacy judgment of the Supreme Court of India in the case K.S. Puttaswamy versus Union of India. And if you read the bill, you will learn that it is inspired by GDPR. So what I feel that the bill is clearly a step in the right direction. Having said that, companies will need significant time and resources to implement such processes that, you know, will comply, that for complying with the data protection, the provisions of the data protection bill. And it may also have an adverse impact on startups and MSMEs, you know, however, I feel that in due course, you know, everything will fall into place, because at the end of the day, data protection is like a welfare legislation and companies have to comply. All in all, I feel that it's high time for India to get its data protection law in place, and to do that, the government, the data protection authorities, the companies and the regulators would have to work together to ensure it's a smooth ride, while keeping the individual, you know, data subjects' interest at the core.
So just to summarize, PDPB is practicable. There might be hurdles in its way, but it can be implemented, and probably it is a need of the hour for India to adapt.
Definitely. And in fact, if you go through the bill, you will see that a lot of provisions are similar to that of GDPR. But the problem here is that Indian companies, you know, because it will apply to the whole of India, right? And from a big company to a small company, it will apply to everyone. Now the problem is how well it is implemented. See, in India, the problem has always been the implementation, right? So it's just that, how well it is implemented.
Thank you, sir. Moving ahead, in the maze of data management, more often than not, the data subjects are seen on the losing end, as the data can be grossly misused, while foreign companies make headlines for being held publicly accountable when data breaches take place. Indian companies in sectors such as telecom, banking, finance, retail, hospitality, and many other indulge in data misuse with impunity. What, according to you, is the way ahead in order to sustainably balance the plight of data subjects as well as the data users?
I agree that data subject has been on the losing side, but it's not going to be the case for long. For those who don't know what data subject is, data subject essentially is the individual who shares his or her data. Right. Now coming to the question, I feel trust is the most important aspect of doing business. You just can't do business with someone you don't trust. And organizations should understand this. I happened to do a course on LinkedIn on data privacy. Interestingly, you know, it talked about a very real phenomenon. The phenomena is called a data trust cliff. Now you understand the concept quite clearly now. You know, a data trust cliff happens as when you're building a trust, right? You're building trust, you start building a relationship, and then that individual is giving you, you know, more and more of his data, and then something bad happens, and then the trust falls off a cliff. Reasons can be many. There might be a security breach that should have been prevented, or the information was shared with third parties that the person didn't know about, or the services were not provided based on the deal that was made by the individual sharing that information. All of these things, you know, can lead to what is called a trust cliff, where suddenly when you are cultivated over time, you know, you're creating a really interesting data relationship which was based on trust, and suddenly all of that is lost and you have to start over again by rebuilding that trust if you can. With respect to your question, what is the way ahead? I would say self-regulation is one of the most underestimated form of regulation. It can actually do wonders if the businesses understand the importance of self-regulation. Moreover, you know, it's no-brainer that, you know, in the coming times, companies that comply with the privacy laws will definitely have a significant competitive advantage over their competitors. So it's as simple as that. If you want to be in the business, you have to, you know, comply with the business, you have to comply with the laws, and you have to keep your customers happy. If they know that you have been acting like fishy and all, and you have been, you know, you have been involved in data breaches and all, nobody would give you business. It's as simple as that.
So can you please elaborate a little more on what kind of self-regulations companies need to adapt?
So see, as per the GDPR rules and the privacy policies that we go into, it is important to note that, you know, first of all, what is the data is being collected, right? You have to inform that person that this is the data that we are collecting. Maybe it's your name, your location, your gender, your blood group, anything. You have to tell them what data is being collected. Second step would be, you will have to tell them why the data is being collected and for what purpose it will be used. Third thing that you will have to tell them is where this data would be stored. Will this be stored in the databases of the company itself, or would they be, you know, will be having an agreement with, you know, a third party storage base? In that case, they will have to ensure that that third party, you know, gives the same level of data protection as this first party is claiming to. So that way, you know, it's a chain where you have to keep the data subject informed about everything. You cannot do anything without his or her consent. That's the premise. Consent is the premise.
On consent, sir, while technology has helped automate taking consent, issuing privacy notices, and tracking data subject requests, at the same time, data is not only the new oil but also a currency in the global economy, which puts it at risk of theft and misuse. So, with the new Pegasus spyware in the news, can we say that technology and data are double-edged swords which require a proper legal framework to protect the interests of the parties involved in any kind of transactions?
That's a very good question. And well, yes, with the advancement in technology, the access to individual data has been on the rise. And that's a no-brainer, right? And this has definitely exposed us to the risk of misuse of our data. Having said that, the possibilities of using this data for our benefits are also immense. But the real challenge is to strike that balance between individual privacy and to the extent to which technologies such as machine learning, artificial intelligence, automation, big data, and analytics can be applied. With respect to Pegasus spyware, you know, it's a totally different thing. For those who don't know what Pegasus is, Pegasus is a malicious software. It is designed to enter a computer device or a mobile device, gather data from there, and forward it to a third party without the owner's consent. You know, now the developers of Pegasus say that the software was developed for the purpose of tracking terrorists and criminals. Now, this could be a part of a different discussion altogether. But what we need to understand here is that more than the data protection laws, here you will need to analyze the surveillance system of a particular government of a particular organization. And more than the data protection laws, you will need the laws to restrict this surveillance mechanism, you know, in the guise of national security. And that's about Pegasus spyware. Moving on, definitely the ideal law would be that provides for a robust mechanism to protect data subjects and, you know, also not to hamper the growth of technology and growth of business organizations. But how far we are from achieving that is the biggest question. As I said earlier, that data protection has to be a welfare legislation, just like a Consumer Protection Act, right? So in order to keep the essence of data protection laws, it has to be a little favorable to the data subjects. But yes, definitely, you cannot, forego, you know, what is there, because here we are also promoting ease of doing business. But we cannot do that with this that, you know, we allow data breaches, we allow, you know, privacy infringement. That cannot be done. So definitely data protection will have to be a welfare legislation, will have to protect data subjects. But yes, it should not hamper the growth of businesses and the technological advancement, and should also not hamper the ease of doing business.
Thank you so much, sir. Before moving ahead, I would like to summarize our today's session on data protection law. So GDPR, like you said very recently, data protection laws are supposed to be welfare legislations, which needs to balance and protect the personal data of the people. On the same lines, personal data protection law is the need of the hour in India, and it is possible to implement it. There might be few hurdles and roadblocks in the pathway, but it is possible to implement it. Now, coming to how companies can prosper, they need to have proper self-regulations. These self-regulations involve keeping the parties well informed regarding what in kind of information is being taken, why this information is being taken, and what will be the storage place, whether it will be regulated by the company or any other third party. And lastly, technological improvement and advancement is necessary. So is the welfare of the businesses and ease of doing business. However, we need a proper legal framework to protect the interests of the parties involved. Was my summary correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So, sir, we have a ritual. And since you are such a young professional in the field, and you know what challenges are ahead of lawyers and law students, what are your suggestions in the light of upcoming challenges with data protection laws and in the digital era, apparently, because we could not attend physical internships for a long time now?
Correct. See, as a young professional, my knowledge is very limited as to this law, and I have tried to share whatever knowledge that I have on this subject. But yes, having said that, you know, the advancement in technology has expedited, more so due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It has forced us to change the traditional ways of doing things, and therefore it has created new challenges, not only for us, but also for businesses who need to work with new regulations and laws, right? And you know, and I feel that India will have its own separate data protection law soon, which then would be applicable on all big and small businesses in India. And the work for data privacy lawyers and technology lawyers is bound to increase many folds. I feel that, including me, we all are in the process of, you know, reading, learning, and then applying. So my advice to fellow professionals and law students would be to keep on following the updates on privacy law, if this is the subject that you are keen on doing. And make sure that you make aware people around you about the privacy rights. Not only individuals, but also corporates, if you get to intern with some certain startups. All because everything is online, you can afford to, you know, do internships around the year. And a lot of people are actually focusing on interning with young startups because they get to, you know, do a lot of research on how to you know, give advice on a particular business model. And you know, it's always a continuing package of doing things. So I feel that it would be a great learning process. And that way you have to make people aware around you about the privacy rights, and even the companies about why they should protect the individuals or their consumers' privacy rights, and the importance of having a privacy policy and terms and conditions of use of their website or their mobile application. Having said that, I personally feel that niche and specialization is becoming a trend and part of the future for legal professionals. With the growing cybersecurity and privacy needs, I think we require a breed of professionals who can give, you know, technical and regulatory expertise on these matters. So definitely people who are interested in the subject should definitely keep these things in mind.
Thank you so much, sir. In this season, I have noticed one common advice, that is being relevant and staying well updated and informed about your niche areas. So I think in the digital era, information is actually easily available and it is easy to know what is happening around us in the legal profession, and it is important and imperative for law students to stay updated, definitely. On this note, thank you so much, sir, for joining us today. It was really insightful session. I learned a lot today. I hope my listeners also learned a lot today. So thank you so much, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. One thing that I would like to say is that, see, a lot of things have changed in the profession, but one thing that hasn't changed is that as a lawyer, you need to keep on learning new things, because law is ever evolving, and so will you. You will also have to be ever evolving in your learnings. It is not like ki ab law degree khatam ho gayi, it's ab khatam ho gaya. No, you'll have to keep on learning, because there are laws. Har saal koi na koi law aayega, and you have to work around it. So, pehle bhi you needed to, you know, be updated, and now also you have to stay updated with, you know, whatever new laws is coming. So with that, I think that is the best note to end the session, and I'm really happy and I'm really glad that you invited me here and I could give my 2 cents on data privacy.
Sir, I'm grateful for you that you took out your important time and you considered this. It means a lot to me. Thank you so much, sir. And to our listeners, stay safe, keep hustling. We'll be back with another episode very soon.